Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. You know, there's a lot of talk today in the church about millennials, about young people, and the status of millennials in the church, and the fact that so many of them seem to be exiting the church. And I think we don't hear often enough some of the really dynamic things that are happening among millennials that I've had the privilege of seeing some of it right around here in Ann Arbor area with a ministry called ID916 that Renewal Ministries kind of sponsors. Got some young dynamic leaders in it. But as I've traveled the country, I've also met some just amazing young Catholic men and women that are deeply committed to Christ, focused, in love with His church, and are able to communicate it and engage the ministry of the church at a high level. And today I have one of those people here in the studio. I'm so excited they have Caitlin Miller. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you, Peter.
Yes. Caitlin works for ID916, but we'll talk a little bit more about what that means. But I wanted to be able to introduce her to you this morning so she can tell her story. So, Caitlin, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your family, where you're from, and then a little bit about your faith journey.
Yeah, of course. So I am from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised. I was raised in a Catholic home, came to church, did all the things that normal Catholic families do, and life was good. And then in high school, life got a little harder. And at that point, you know, I had to really question what it was that I was believing and standing by as a Catholic. And I didn't have much information or catechesis in why to defend those things and why to live by them in my morals. And so I was willing more so to live according to the culture, according to the age, and fall into the things that normal high schoolers do. Went off to college and got more involved in those things through my sorority and knew it was wrong most of the time. I'd still go to Mass, but was just very unsure why I was doing the things I was doing, living the way that I was living, and would just live my life according to what other people told me to do. Yeah. And so it took a friend who was involved in FOCUS, which is a Fellowship of Catholic University Students, who reached out to me, believed in me, asked me three important questions. She said, "Are you happy? Where's your faith? And what are you doing with your life?" And
I could
not answer those questions honestly. And I just said, "I don't know." And she said, "Do you want to change that?" And so I said, "Yes." And so through her, joined discipleship through FOCUS and just journeyed through a friendship. And she unveiled the truths of the faith that I had long forgotten and long gotten distracted from through the way that I was living my life. And so through that discipleship journey, was introduced to Jesus and the person of who he is through the Eucharist. And everything changed from then on.
Oh, yeah.
I had to live differently. I had to make big decisions to change my life and live for the Lord. And that did not come easily, but it happened. And sure enough, so that was...
Where did you go to college, by the way? What's
University of Tennessee.
Oh, it's your University of Tennessee. Okay, so they had the FOCUS chapter
big
there.
Big SEC school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so was there an outreach into the sorority that you were in? Something?
There was, yes. Okay. So an aspect of FOCUS is FOCUS Greek. Mm-hmm. But my discipler was not a part of that. But we were friends in high school. And so she had kind of gone the church route, and then I had gone the sorority route. And so
she probably converged. She probably knew when... If she knew you before, and so she was a missionary, so was she like 4 years ahead of you?
Oh,
she was a student. Oh, a student. Okay. And so she probably knew when you arrived, and she was going to reach out to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So repeat those three questions again. Those are really good.
She said, "Are you happy? What are you doing with your life? And where is your faith?"
Yeah. And you couldn't answer those questions
at that time. I couldn't lie. You know, I had to face it, and so I said I didn't know.
Yeah.
And she helped me discover the answer to those, and I figured out where my faith was. I figured out what happiness was in the Lord, and I found out what to do with my life.
Yeah, and clearly didn't just happen overnight. What were the first steps that you ended up experiencing with her? Like, how did she lead you in the process of trying to evangelize or mentor or guide you in some way?
Yeah, so starting from that, we started meeting weekly, and she was just unveiling, again, the truths of the church, the truth of the faith that I had learned. But I was learning them through the context of a relationship with Jesus that I guess I just didn't quite understand before.
Yeah.
And so I was willing to do things for this person now than versus just this idea
or
this set of rules that I had perceived it as previously.
Yeah.
And so we would meet, and this relationship was coming alive inside of me, and my heart was prepared for this encounter with the Eucharist on a retreat, and the Lord just kind of took over from there.
So you FOCUS hosted a retreat? Is that what you're saying? And so what happened on the retreat? Like, what was it like for you?
Yeah, I was, so I'd actually been on the retreat before, and so I was back serving on the music team and had no expectations of an encounter, of course. And in adoration, I was watching as the monstrance was being processed, and the Holy Spirit just like, yeah, showered down upon me and was like, this is it. This is him, and he loves you, and I love you. And we just like fell in love in those minutes, hours. And I was like, okay, now I know that my sin hurts Jesus and I can no longer live the way that I've been living.
Wow, that's a great grace.
And so, yeah, it all changed from there slowly but surely.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you mentioned that you had been on some of those retreats already with them. You were growing. Mm-hmm. You already were moving in that direction. You made some decisions to become a disciple, that kind of thing. But it was like the second or third time you were on it, the Lord just took you deeper.
Right. Exactly.
Which is really how the Lord works, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And he was very patient with me and tender, so praise him.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you were a student, and then did you become a kind of leader that your friend was yourself?
I did. So yes, my conversion happened in October of my senior year of college, and I quickly, officially joined discipleship after that and then started leading a Bible study in my sorority. Then in the spring semester, and then ended up applying for Focus in February of that year.
Okay. Now, you know, a lot of, in the church today, because we're focusing on evangelization, it's the high priority, one of the things that gets mentioned a lot is disciple or discipleship, right? And so what did that mean for you at the time? Was that language that you were taking in already as they were helping you understand that Jesus wants you to become his disciple, and was that part of the conversation?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
So I had an understanding that what I was agreeing to was discipleship.
Okay.
And was learning what that meant and what that would require of me and how that would unfold in my life, how that would have to look differently than the way that I was previously living.
Okay. So what did the process look like then in terms of, I think I saw one time at Focus, I think called a discipleship roadmap or something like that, like there was a way of helping people. Could you describe some of that, kind of how you experienced it?
Yes. So I definitely started as a beginning disciple, the basic realities, coming to know the truth of the church, believing them, living by them, going to Mass regularly, going to confession, letting the sacraments be a gift to me, and slowly but surely advancing along this roadmap that Focus has created. It's a great tool for students and individuals to see, like, where am I and where do I want to be? So if the end goal is to be a disciple maker, how do I get there? These are practical things I can strive for and, set goals in so that I can get to the end goal of being a disciple maker as Jesus.
So disciple in its simplest form means learner, and you're learning the life of Jesus. And I think in a very concrete way, I love what they're doing on campus is really helping students answer the question, well, what does it mean to learn Christ? What does it mean to become a follower of Jesus? And how do I actually express that in my life as a Catholic? You touched on some of them. What do you see as the key dimensions that you found most impactful for you in terms of becoming and growing as a disciple?
I think from my own heart and for the heart of all of us, it's the relationship was the key to understanding everything. It unlocked the reality of the church, the reality of living for eternity.
The relationship with Jesus, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so in my friend witnessing that to me, I was willing to accept and embrace all aspects of the church. And so in that, I saw how her love changed my life. And I was willing, okay, if one person can change my life will never be the same because of her love. If I can be that to one other person, then I can do that. So it was a simple, like, one person will make it worth it. And God definitely has used me to, invest in several people since then. But that was like the kicker. I was like, if I can just do for one other person what was done to me.
Real and transformational for you. You said something earlier that most Catholics, we don't think about ourselves. You said a disciple becomes a disciple maker. So, I mean, it's in some ways the terminology is self-evident. Describe that. And is every baptized person called to be a disciple? And is every disciple of Jesus called to be a disciple maker? And what does that mean exactly?
Most definitely. Yeah, I became a disciple. We're all called to be disciples. We're called to be Jesus and to be like him and do the things he did. And so that's growing to become, to have a heart that becomes like his and to go out and do what he did and more is what scripture tells us, right?
Right.
And so for me, right, seeing the impact that one person's yes could have been on my life, if I can keep giving my yes, keep believing in people, asking the right questions and introducing them to this person that I had then met then their lives can be changed, and therefore they can go out and do the same thing.
Yeah.
And this exponential growth focuses big on that spiritual multiplication.
Yeah.
And right, if we can just invest in a few, then we can change the world.
Yeah, and you just didn't have information downloaded to you in a process. You entered a relationship with someone who introduced you more fully to Jesus, and a whole network of relationships of mm-hmm. other young people who were coming to know the Lord,
right.
a community of missionary disciples, really, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and then you just invite others into that,
mm-hmm.
and you help them learn what you learned, which is what being a disciple maker is all about, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you did that. You did that for a few years. You were on their staff for a few years, right?
Yep. So okay. I joined staff in 2014, the summer. And a lot of my true conversion happened in the context of being a missionary. You're asked to pray a daily holy hour, go to daily mass. And so I was exposed to the Eucharist and to grace on a daily basis.
So you, the habits of
yes.
deeper relationship with Christ and
right.
communion and all that good
right.
stuff is worked in you. And it really helps to do it in the context mm-hmm. with other people, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's both because of accountability, but also encouragement. And mm-hmm. Christianity is meant to be lived communally. It's meant to be
right.
lived in a vibrant community of believers. So from that experience of mission yourself, then you ended up coming here to Ann Arbor and working with ID 916. Maybe you tell our listeners a little bit about what is that? Why'd you come and do it? What's it? What do you see in it? What are you doing? What's your role in it? That kind of thing?
Yep. So I left Focus knowing that I was replaceable and that there was a greater need outside of the mm-hmm. college campus that I could meet that was not being met seemingly. So my thought was that I would go back to Nashville, Tennessee and work for young adults there. In the process, found out about ID 916, reached out to Pete Burak and just wanted to have a conversation about how can a young adult ministry. So he so patiently coached me through how to do it, the process looks like, who to know, who to talk to. And in that process, realizing that I did have a heart for discipleship for young adults. And so he noticed that and
yeah.
asked me just to come up and visit Ann Arbor to check things out, not expecting a job from that trip, but coming up and just seeing the vibrant community, seeing discipleship actually happening, and seeing the way that ID is taking a great lead in that movement and mm-hmm. in that ministry, and I wanted to be a part of it. And so the fruit of that trip, my visit here in Ann Arbor, was a job offer to be the chapter coordinator for ID. And so now I am still being able to impact Nashville, and we are starting a chapter down there, but I'm also the chapter coordinator, and so that means I disciple the leadership teams of the chapters we have across the country.
Yeah.
And so we work with parishes and do discipleship with the local community there, and I invest in the leadership team so that they can be more free to invest in their communities and disciple them from there.
Very good, yeah. The Lord is using kind of everything he's poured into you up to this point, which he does, right? The whole mm-hmm. process of learning, being discipled through Focus and the wonderful things you learned there, you can apply plus the new things that he's bringing into your life. So, wow, the program has gone by so fast. Caitlin, I'd like to have you back in a couple of days. We could talk a little bit more about ID 916, but tomorrow I want to have a good friend of yours on the program, Katie
yes.
Parada.
Yes, love
who's
her.
who's also working with ID 916, and the Lord's leading her on an amazing journey
yes,
to enter
sure
a religious order. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to kind of hear what's going on, because so many dynamic things, friends, are happening with young people who are opening their hearts to Christ. I mean, Jesus is so dead serious about discipling those who open their hearts to him. And I'm deeply encouraged by the kind of gifting and commitment and talent that I see in many millennials across the church. And in some ways, it's kind of their moment to kind of come forward and to reach their own peers. And I see that happening with great effect. And Caitlin, thanks for being here. And friends, I hope you can join us tomorrow. But you're going to really enjoy Katie Parada very much. God bless you and have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.